Hey everyone, welcome back to Beta Finch. I'm Alex, here with Jordan, and today we're breaking down PepsiCo's second quarter 2026 earnings call. This one's got a real tale of two businesses vibe, strong international, choppy in North America. Before we dive in, quick disclaimer, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right, and there's a lot to unpack here, Alex. This wasn't a blowout quarter, but it also wasn't a disaster. It's more of a here's exactly where the pressure points are kind of call.
Let's start with the headline numbers. First half revenue grew almost 7% company-wide, which is solid. Global volumes were up 3% in foods and 2% in beverages. CEO Ramon Laguarta called that the fastest volume growth since 2022.
And on earnings, reported EPS grew 6% in the first half. Constant currency EPS up 3%. They reaffirmed full-year guidance, though CFO Steve Schmidt flagged it might land toward the low end of their EPS range.
The story underneath those numbers, though, is really about a split business. International is on fire, set to cross $40 billion this year, growing 7% and accelerating. Meanwhile, North America, especially the food business, PFNA, came in softer than expected.
Yeah, PFNA volume was flat in the quarter. And that's notable because PepsiCo spent the first half of the year specifically investing in affordability, lowering prices, portion control packs, to get salty snacks volume growing again after a stretch of decline.
And it kind of worked, right? Laguarta made the point that the category went from negative volume to positive, and PepsiCo is actually gaining share within that. So, directionally, the strategy's working, just not as fast as hoped.
Right. And he was pretty candid about why. Gas prices. Rising fuel costs hit convenience and gas station channels hard. Those impulse purchase locations where price sensitivity shows up fast. People are pulling into the pump, but not converting that traffic into snack and drink purchases the way they used to.
That convenience and gas weakness actually shows up directly in the numbers too. PBNA, the North America beverage business, saw operating margin down about 90 basis points. Steve Schmidt broke that into three pieces, about half tied to the Alani new commercial arrangement, then the soft convenience and gas channel, and product mix.
What I found interesting was management resisting the idea of some big reset, a phrase one analyst used. Laguarta pushed back pretty firmly, saying they don't need one because of record productivity gains funding the growth investments.
There's also a nice tailwind mentioned, tariff refund claims from last year, expected to add about a full point of EPS growth for the full year. That's helping offset rising commodity costs, particularly some inflation expected in Europe and the Middle East in the back half.
On the international side, it's honestly the highlight of the call. Laguarta did a world tour, Vietnam, Thailand, China, the Middle East, all more resilient than expected despite higher gas prices there too. Europe's getting a real boost from World Cup sponsorship activations. Latin America is a bit softer, but still trending positive.
And Schmidt added that international operating margin actually grew a full point in the quarter. So it's not just top-line growth, it's profitable, efficient growth.
One thing analysts kept circling back to almost every question, honestly, was this idea of optimizing ROI on the affordability investments. What does that actually mean?
Right, and Laguarta's answer was pretty practical. It's about tailoring trade investment mechanics customer by customer, channel by channel, high-low retailers versus everyday low-price retailers, to squeeze more actual volume out of each dollar spent, rather than just discounting broadly.
There was also good color on M&A and brand integration. Poppy and Siete both had some early year hiccups. Poppy had distributor transition issues. Siete had an ingredient supply issue. But management says both are resolved and growth is reaccelerating. They also mentioned the Celsius/Alani new style partnership model as another lever alongside outright acquisitions.
And there was a great strategic question about whether PepsiCo is underinvesting internationally to prop up the U.S. Laguarta was clear. No, International gets full funding, capital, marketing, talent, and the U.S. productivity push, including things like combined mixing centers in Texas, is specifically designed to fund U.S. transformation without starving International.
So what does this mean for investors going forward? The bull case here is diversification. International is now a majority of volume and margin accretive, and it's de-risking the business from U.S.-specific consumer softness.
The watch item is North America execution, specifically whether the gradual improvement management promised for the second half actually materializes and whether convenience and gas channel weakness eases as gas prices normalize. Schmidt did note PBNA margins should improve faster than foods in the second half, with fourth quarter stronger than third quarter.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
So, bottom line, PepsiCo's playing a patient game. Lean on international strength, keep tweaking the U.S. affordability playbook, and let productivity and tariff refunds buy time for North America to catch up.
We'll be watching third quarter closely to see if that acceleration management keeps promising actually shows up in the numbers.
That's all for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.